Before we go into our interview today, I wanted to let everyone know we have a new sponsor for our Energy Question podcast, the U.S. Oil and Gas Association, or USOGA for short. First established in 1917, USOGA has been an effective and creative voice for the industry for more than a century now. USOGA is dedicated to educating the public, policymakers, and legislators at the federal, state, and local levels about the value of the domestic oil and natural gas industry. If you're in the industry and not currently a USOGA member, please consider joining the association as a way of helping it tell your story to the policymakers whose actions impact everything you do each and every day. You can start that process by contacting USOGA through its website, usoga.org. Thanks so much to USOGA for sponsoring the Energy Question podcast, and now on with our show.
Hi, welcome to the Energy Question with David Blackman. I'm your host, David Blackman, and with me today is my very special guest, Emily Head, Senior Geology Associate at Enverus in the Calgary office, right?
You got it. Yeah, coming in from Calgary here.
Very cool. You sound like you might be a Canadian native. Is that right? Am I picking up on that accent correctly?
Indeed, born and raised Calgarian, but now I work Texas Oil, so it's kind of cool. Fun to spread that wide there with the geology.
I was with a company called Burlington Resources back in the day, and some of our executives talked about Calgary and Alberta as if it was just kind of like a cold version of Texas. So I've been up there a couple of times myself. It's really, really gorgeous country.
I'd be biased, but absolutely, it's a great country to be from, for sure.
Well, we're here today to talk about a subject that's probably going to surprise some people who haven't been made aware of it yet. We're going to talk about a recent study Enverus put out for its clients related to the extension of the Barnett Shale that goes all the way out into the Midland Basin. The Barnett Shale, you know, when people hear about it, people will tend to think of the first big, very gassy natural gas shale play in north central Texas, where I live now. And probably most people are not even aware that the formation extends all the way down there, much less that it might have the potential to become a new prospect there in the Permian Basin. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we basically put out this recent study on the Barnett Shale, as you mentioned, David, and this study was just centered around looking for opportunities for resource expansion in the basin. A common theme that we've heard across many investors across the operator community is that sub $50 break-even inventory scarcity is a very common thing right now. And so our goal here was to look at these targets. You know, in this particular case, it was a deeper target into the Barnett. The Barnett has been tested recently by some key operators in the Midland Basin. Previously, as early as 2018, we've seen results also on the Central Basin Platform, which is just that geological structure that takes that is located west of the Midland Basin proper. And so our goal was to really just hop in, quantify those results, do a bit of a deeper dive on the geo there as well, and look at this deeper zone.
Well, it's really interesting to me. I was at a trade association conference over in Fort Worth for the Texas Alliance of Energy Producers last month, and a fellow from Diamondback Energy was there talking about, and he raised this. I mean, his presentation wasn't focused on this, but he raised it in the course of his comments and talked about how their company has been testing the formation. And then there was another fellow from a smaller company there also saying the similar things about it. So I wasn't even really aware that this was a potentially productive formation in the Permian. So it was a real surprise to me. What does the Enverus think is the potential for production out there in the Barnett extent, in the Permian or the Midland Basin extent of it?
Yeah, as I mentioned, Diamondback basically has been a tester of this particular zone in the Midland Basin. Their tests have been mostly on the on the Central Basin Platform have been the recent well results that we've seen from them. And so that would be kind of the furthest southwest that we've seen those results, as far south as Crane County, actually. And then another operator that has been a little bit more prevalent in the space testing this zone is Elevation Resources. And so they're taking a big stake in all of those Barnett tests in Andrews County. So I would say that that's kind of the furthest northern extent that we've seen these tests. They've definitely taken the lead in the space on testing this zone. But then as far as the Midland Basin proper, I would say that those are the most important tests and going to be the most meaningful piece of that resource expansion piece. And that's really kind of taken the lead by Occidental Petroleum. They've been testing the zone mostly in the Midland Basin proper. As of recently, we've also seen results as far east as Glasscock County. So just to show you the widespread extent of where we've seen these Barnett tests, I would say that that's going to be the most important piece here. The most important piece is going to be quantifying, you know, the regional extent of this zone. But then in addition to that as well, the productivity and where you're going to be seeing that break-even threshold really hit. Again, that $50 break-even threshold being the number we're looking for here. And we've seen those results in the Midland Basin proper in a lot of those tests taking place really within Martin and Midland County. And so that's going to be the important metric we're looking at, and it's being achieved to date.
Wow. So as I mentioned earlier, obviously the Barnett in North Texas, you know, in the original big play up here, was almost all gas. I mean, just a very dry gas kind of play. What is the, does it get, I assume the formation must be more liquidy down there in the Permian region, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's going to be a good key metric, obviously, to look at here, because we have to make sure that our wellhead liquids are going to be adequate enough to get some good oil out of it, right? And so on average, we're seeing around the 65% wellhead liquids out of this zone, on average, looking at all of these tests. I would say that there is also going to be a gassy component to all of these wells, and we're seeing an influx in gas as you're getting into that deeper part of the Barnett in the Midland Basin proper. And then we would say that, you know, that's really going to be largely associated with that depth, with depth increasing towards that basin center. But as you're on the Central Basin Platform, you're getting less gas associated with those tests. Again, really driven by, you know, a couple key operators such as Elevation, Fang being those contributors on the Central Basin Platform.
You know, the hydraulics of these formations is always so fascinating to me. I remember when the Eagle Ford was first discovered. Oh, God, in late 2008 and early 2009, you know, as they were trying to delineate that resource, it just, you know, it was really a year and a half before they realized that you had really three different tiers within the Eagle Ford Shale, a dry gas play, a condensate gas play, and then almost pure oil play to, you know, on the western extent of it. This 65-35 ratio you mentioned, liquids to gas, that's not really unusual for the formations in the Permian Basin, right? I mean, most of them, you know, get fairly gassy in some parts of that rock.
Yeah, I would say that it's broadly speaking on where you're looking at in the Permian Basin. We'd say definitely you're going to be getting a big gas component the further southeast you move in the Midland Basin, associated with, you know, some of your classic Wolfcamp intervals, your Lower Spraberry as well. So yeah, definitely gas isn't out of the picture for some of those more common zones as well. But just something to be aware of with the cut as well within this deep zone when you're looking at the Barnett, for sure.
Yeah. So this, of course, it's 1,000 feet, I think I read, you said, below the Wolfcamp. For companies that, you know, I mean, most of these companies that are out there right now have a lot of existing wells, probably that are drilled into the Wolfcamp, most of them. Are they going to be, I mean, this is a situation where they'll be able to access this lower formation through the same well bores, or are they going to have to drill entirely new wells?
Didn't do too much of a look through on that portion in this study, I would say, but probably new wells associated with these tests. The other thing to that is important to consider is just making sure that these operators do have the deep rights to this zone. We've heard that is going to be you do have to make sure that you do have the rights to this deeper zone. We've heard similar hints around when operators have been targeting the Wolfcamp D, the Wolfcamp D being that deep zone just above the Barnett. And so that's been a zone that's been also tested in recent years as well. And so, similarly, it's going to be a right, making sure that you have rights to those deeper targets.
Yeah. Do you have information yet about the thickness of the rock in the Barnett formation down there?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that I would say that there's a couple key things to look at with the thickness. So number one, as you mentioned, the thickness below those typical zones that are produced. So, the Wolfcamp in that Permian aged rock. And so between that Wolfcamp and the Barnett, you're going to have that big, thick Pennsylvanian unit that's going to be over 1,000 feet thick. And so that 1,000-foot unit that sits roughly between the Barnett and those Wolfcamp zones serves as a couple it basically has a couple effective purposes. Number one, there's a carbonate that sits within that zone that serves as an effective barrier of communication, so you're not going to get that pressure communication between that Wolfcamp and the Barnett. And so that carbonate really is difficult to frack through. There's no oil in place in it. And so it really serves as an effective communication barrier. But as I mentioned as well, just the vast thickness of that zone as well definitely serves to mitigate that pressure communication. But once you get through that carbonate, once you get through that Pennsylvanian zone and through to and you're right into the Mississippi and Barnett target, you're going to be seeing about a 500 thick zone ranging, between 500, 750 feet thick if of that Barnett zone in particular. The Barnett, we wouldn't say that you're necessarily going to be able to produce from that entire zone. That's a big zone to produce from. What we've seen with these recent tests is that they're producing many operators are producing from the base of that Barnett, right up against that Mississippian lime that kind of separates that Woodford target from the Barnett. The Woodford is a zone that sits, again, just below that Mississippian lime, which is also deeper than the Barnett.
So you preempted my next question. That's really good. My next question was going to be about the Woodford. I've been reading some things about there's even potential for the Woodford to be productive down there. Do we have good data on that to have some clues yet about that possibility?
We don't have a lot of data on the Woodford. We've only seen a handful of tests into that zone as well. I would definitely say that the Barnett is taking the lead on getting the most tests into it. Again, probably only seeing a handful of wells into that Woodford in the Midland Basin proper. We have a couple ideas as to why that would be the case. The Mississippian lime, which again is that barrier that kind of separates that Barnett and that Woodford target, thins quite substantially depending on where you are in the Midland Basin proper. So we kind of believe that if there's going to be one topic or one zone targeted versus the other, the Barnett is probably going to be the more dominating target.
Well, this is just pretty amazing. So I know Alan Gilmer. I've known Alan for a long, long time, the longtime chairman, CEO, and of course the founder of Drilling Info, which ultimately became Enverus. And I interviewed him in, I'll never forget it, in August of 2018. We had run into each other at a conference and just set up the interview. And in that interview, and I wrote a piece at Forbes about it, Alan told me his view was that the Permian Basin as a whole is essentially going to end up being an inexhaustible resource in terms of hydrocarbons. And when I saw this, your report on the Barnett, I immediately that statement from Alan popped into my head. He's always been one of the smartest guys I've ever known. This is really just kind of evidence that Alan's assessment of this basin is really kind of true, isn't it? That we're probably never going to run out of this resource, particularly with this transition going on.
Yeah, and I think we would agree with that statement as well. The Permian, as you mentioned, there's multiple zones that are available in the Delaware on the Midland side. We've been really looked to quantify the regional extent of those zones and really how operators are going to continue to push the bounds geographically, you know, further east, further south, and really what that extent is going to look like. And really operators have continued to prove that out as well. You know, inventory scarcity, as we mentioned, is more so on the high quality inventory scarcity theme. And so as we continue to really push the regional extents, but also push those into those deeper targets, again, such as the Wolfcamp D, such as the Barnett, we've seen more Woodford tests, as I mentioned as well. You know, we're continuing to uncover more of this resource. And so, you know, really showing that the Permian Basin still does have years of productivity to come. Again, just pending the resource quality associated with all of these tests.
Yeah. So this may not be in your part, and that's fine if it's not a question you want to address. When I think about this, we've already been having pipeline constraints, capacity constraints out of the Permian. And if you should end up, you know, if the Barnett, you know, companies do get real excited about it, you end up with kind of a miniature drilling boom starting up next year sometime in the Permian. Isn't that going to just kind of create even a bigger problem with takeaway capacity out there?
Yeah, as you mentioned, I don't know if that's within the scope of this study right now, but yeah. Maybe save that for another conversation.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, listen, man, I appreciate so much you taking the time to do this interview with me today. This is a fascinating report. And of course, in Verus, I rely on Verus for so much information in my writing and my podcast. And it's always such a pleasure to meet smart people like you who are doing this work for such a great company.
Awesome. Thank you so much, David. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about this.
Thank you. And thanks to our sponsors at the U.S. Oil and Gas Association. Really appreciate your sponsorship. To the Sandstone Group for hosting our podcast. And to our extraordinary producer, Eric Perel. That's all for now.